Welcome to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Russ White. At 6 past the hour following news, Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon and Spartans Athletic Director Mark Hollis talk with emerging Spartan football leaders for 2017, Brian Allen and Chris Fry. And we learn all about the brand new WKAR PBS Kids 24/7 channel.
The resources that are here on campus at this university are for the public. They're for you. I want people to know that we're a partner. We're in there with you. We want you to succeed. And if there's anything that we can do to help you do that, we're going to do it.
MSU Today begins at 4:06. This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon and Spartans Athletic Director Mark Hollis with emerging Spartan football leaders for 2017, Brian Allen and Chris Fry.
Great to have Chris Fry and Brian Allen join us from the Spartan football team. New year. Happy New Year to you both.
Yeah. Thank you.
And it's great to have you with us. You're both leaders not only on the team but across campus. I know, Chris, you play a role in a group that I have in trying to lead not just our football program, our athletic department, but the school in a positive direction. Talk a little bit about your experiences so far on campus.
Yeah, with football and the academic side, it's really hard for us as athletes to be able to get out and do things with the community and together as athletes and as a community of Spartans because of our strenuous schedule. So with your leadership group, it's easier for us to find a time as a group and be able to come together and brainstorm ideas and bounce ideas off of one another of how we as Spartan athletes can come together and impact not only the other athletes but the students as a whole, and I think it's really helped a lot of people, or a lot of athletes to better themselves and to try and help better this the Spartan Nation.
Yeah, I think he serves with a group of students from a variety of different sports, and it's great to have. One of the things I heard first was it's nice to spend time with athletes from other sports because there really hasn't been as much of that environment to talk about things that maybe there's differences and sometimes most of the time similarities in the approach to school. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that, and there's a lot of diversity in that group. You know, with the different sports, I know for football there's a lot of diversity within the team, so it's easy for us to interact with each other, but moving outside of football, there's, I don't know about the other teams, but there's a lot of diversity within that group of athletes that come together, and I think we all come from different places and different mindsets, different backgrounds, and it's easy for us, like I said, to bounce ideas off of each other, whether it's with our academics or with our schedule, with our sport. I think it's easy for us to have very different ideas but come together to make one great idea and what we're doing.
And, Brian, it's always good to have a big brother kind of help you with that process, but coming from Chicagoland and coming to Michigan State, give us just a little brief synopsis of your experiences here.
Yeah, my experience was, you know, different for, you know, that every other football player has just because they don't have a older brother to, you know, help them and show them the ropes or when you get sick of dorm food or just looking to get out. I had a place to escape to, so my situation was probably a little better and a little easier just to kind of smooth in and, you know, get used to being in East Lansing, just having him here, so if I ever needed him, it was just phone call away or a nice couple block walk to his apartment just to, you know, hang out or do whatever or have someone to talk to when, you know, things get tough just because, you know, starting college for everyone's a, you know, it's a different time that, you know, people aren't used to and, you know, a lot of kids have to figure it out on their own. But, you know, having, you know, him and just older kids on the team to look up to and, you know, bounce stuff off of was really helpful. So
I know both of you have the talent to be pursued to play professional football. One of the stats I was astonished to hear is 25% of the NFL turns over every year, that there's a constant churn. And The preparation, you hear it from our academic support, you hear it from coaches. The pursuit of life after football is something that's critically important. How do you go about that approach of getting that degree, of trying to learn things beyond the boundaries of football? Is that easy to do? Is it difficult to do?
It's very easy. Yeah. No football players come in and say, oh, academics isn't important. You know, that's just not a thing anymore, because everyone knows that, you know, the NFL is a realistic opportunity, but at the same time, it could be very short-lived. And even guys who were on our team last year or the year before are already in and out of the NFL. So, you know, just if you're a young guy, you see that. And, I mean, you should come to college and want your degree, but seeing that just, you know, inspires you more. And, you know, it's just a good to, you know, have a major with something you like to do and something that can, you know, set you up to do something outside of football. So for me, I would say the first eye-opening experience was like my freshman year when guys, you know, did their pro day. They made a camp, and then they got cut, and then that's it. So, you know, some guys' NFL careers can last 3 weeks, and then that's it. Football's over. So it was tough, and, you know, cutthroat as that is, you know, you need to have a, you know, another plan and another thing to, you know, just have for you with the rest of your life. And I think that's where, you know, the degree comes into play.
And for you, what is that? What's your passion beyond football?
I'm still... Like a lot of kids don't really know what I want to do, but I'm an economics major. But no, I just want to do something in business, and that's pretty broad, and I just think that'll give me, you know, an opportunity somewhere along the road when, you know, football does end, so use that. So.
We will talk about football in a minute here, but
there you go.
Another question coming back to you, Chris, is there are a lot of conversations that are going on right now about time demands for all student-athletes, and I'd like to get your perspective on the pace, everything from training table, practice, doing the things that, you know, when I walk in and I talk to the freshmen, I say, how many of you are going to play in the NFL? I think in the freshmen, it's probably 99% of the hands go up. So it's getting that aspiration that football is an important part of the lives of individuals that are on that team. But I think as time goes by, and especially when you get to that senior year, there's an understanding. Is the time, are there things that you would like to see adapted, tweaked, as you're talking to, there's probably athletic directors listening to this show, and
so
presidents.
I think when it comes down to it, you know, there's a lot of extra work that goes in that a lot of people don't see when it comes to every sport that we have on campus.
Right.
And football's, for us, it's an everyday thing. It's a year-round thing, and, you know, it takes a lot of our time. But in the end, if you don't love this game, then you shouldn't be doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes down to whether you love it or not. And I know for me and Brian, especially, we love this game, and it's what we want to do. And we're going to do everything we can to try and take that to the next level. And if that means being here at 5 o'clock in the morning every day, we're going to do it. And that life's not for everybody. So, you know, for other people, yeah, I mean, that there could be different strenuous things that, you know, they don't like and they want to change. But I can sit here and say that, you know, I can deal with it, you know, and whatever comes with it and whatever aspect of the game it is that we have to take on and the different times of the day that we have to do it, we're going to do it because we want to be great and we want to take this opportunity that we have and further it to the next level.
And at the same time, you're a college student.
Yeah.
And are you getting those experiences? You are in the classroom. You are in the tutorials and studying. Are you getting the experience as a college student that you feel like you want to get as a young?
I think, especially with our football program, Coach D'Antonio is enabling guys to be able to do things outside of just football and school. You know, for different guys' majors, they have to have a certain amount of hours as an internship. And during the summer, he allows guys to take a little bit of time off of football to do those hours and get a job and work those internship hours that they need. And then we also offer the study abroad, sports and down south or whatever.
Down
I can't,
under.
Down under in Australia. And
down south is like...
Yeah, down Florida, under, yeah. So I know that within our football team and with the down under. It allows people, it allows student athletes to be able to have those things that some other athletes might not be able to have in other schools, because our coaches and our academic support staff allow us and give us the opportunities to further our knowledge and better ourselves outside of just football and our school and our tutoring. They give us different things that we can do.
One of the things that I struggle with, so in these conversations, and let me use an example of a pianist. Okay. We have people who are studying music or studying lots of things that are really good, and they practice enough to be really good for right now, but they don't want to play professionally. And we have people who then see their life in front of an orchestra, or they see their life running their own company. And those are the kids who are either at the piano or over in the hatch, you know, spending hours and hours constructing a company. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I struggle as I listen to your aspirations to be both getting an education and to play at the next level. When the funnel gets really narrow, like the pianist, or the entrepreneur, when only 1 in 10 or 1 in 20 make it, some of that time you spend is because of your passion for your future, not because it's somebody's telling you to do it. And others' time is sort of you're telling you to do it, and if you don't do it, then you're not part of the group, or you know, you're not one of the guys, or and there's that kind of peer, sometimes coach pressure. I struggle in the time demands question figuring out that difference, because in some cases, if you want to play in the NFL, you're going to have to stay in really good shape, whether I tell you to or not, mm-hmm. because that's your passion.
Yeah.
For those guys, sometimes who don't see it that way and they have other interests, they might get ready nearer the season. I don't know how to think about that versus coercion and pressure to do it. And I constantly struggle with those issues. And part of it is just the people you're around.
I think the way we look at it, too, though, is, you know, there is the things that, you know, across the country, there's a certain amount of hours that we are allowed to have a week. And, you know, that's the way that, you know, those guys that, you know, they want to be on the team, they want to, but they might not see themselves playing in the future. They are set, those are the set hours that they have to do. But the guys that really see themselves playing at the next level and doing things at the next level, they take extra time out of their day. They do extra things to be great and do those on a regular basis.
Do you think I should tell you not to do those things because of time demands? Because that's a little bit of the discussion. Whether it's your
choice,
whether it's your choice, yes. I lock the door on the gym. That's one of the proposals. I lock the door, you know, so you can't pick up a football
I would
and
say,
throw. I
mean,
I'm just
I would say we have a team full of people who want to be sitting in the orchestra, not people who want to do it now and figure it out later. So, you know, being at, you know, Michigan State on our team, there aren't a lot of people who don't want to be, you know, the best piano player in the orchestra. We have a team full of guys who very few kids on our team would, like you said, all the freshmen, they raise their hand. If you ask the question of the whole team, everyone's going to raise their hand. It's just not everyone's, you know, been blessed with those athletic abilities or whatever it is, but everyone is working towards that, and you know the common goal we have just to be as the best team we can be. So just the mindset of kind of wavering, it really doesn't, there's not really, you know, a spot for it in, you know, Division I athletics, at least, because if everyone's not going in one direction, that's when, you know, things start going south.
Mm-hmm. So for me, the important things are you're pursuing a degree, you're getting something viable, something of value that's going to take into your future. You're perfecting your passion about a sport that you love, whether it be golf, in your guys' case, football. But you're also acclimated into what this campus is all about. And what I found when I was at Michigan State is what I learned outside the classroom was almost as important as what I learned in the classroom, and that's being in social environments, learning how to deal with people. In today's world, putting the phone down and talking to somebody, are you getting those kind of experiences?
Yeah. As you know, athletes, it's harder just to communicate with students who are, you know, regular students. But I think my freshman year, I probably had trouble with that the most. But you know, this year I've probably found out that I'm hanging out with more people who aren't athletes as opposed to athletes. So just good to have other friends, and me being from Chicago and, you know, Chris from Ohio, a lot of our students are from Michigan. So people tell me they're from West Bloomfield. I have no idea where that is, but, you know, so I've made a lot of friends just, you know, throughout the state of Michigan, and just connections that I wouldn't have, you know, if I hadn't come here and, you know, put myself out there just to meet new people and try and experience new things, you know, when, you know, when we get the opportunity to. So.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing for me. You know, you come here as a freshman, and for me, my experience is a little bit different than Brian because I graduated early and came in January. So it was actually me, Matt Sokol, and Andrew Foster, who is no longer here, and he transferred out. But, you know, it was the three of us, and most of our classes were together, and we sat together, we hung out together, and we did everything together because we were the only people that we knew. So it was kind of hard for us coming in early in the middle of the year, not knowing anybody in our dorm, not knowing anything around really. So we spent a lot of time together, but as time goes on, and, you know, as I go further into my degree, a lot of, I'm an advertising major, so a lot of my classes are actually group, is a lot of group work. Mm-hmm. So it allows me to meet a lot of new people, a lot of different backgrounds, like I said earlier, a lot of diversity within a group, and it allows me and helps me to be able to communicate with different people and be able to read people and what they like and what they don't like, how to communicate with them, whether they're a more formal person or laid back, and just it allows me to use my skills to be able to communicate with them. But like Brian said, I mean, he comes from Chicago. I come from Columbus, Ohio, and, you know, when I tell people where I'm from, they're like, oh, that's terrible. Ohio this, Ohio that. And, you know, it's a little different, but, you know, it allows for me to use my where I'm from. It allows me to be able to communicate and use that, yeah, to talk to somebody.
You're tuned to MSU Today on 870 AM WKAR. This is a conversation between Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon, Spartans Athletic Director Mark Hollis, and emerging Spartan football leaders for 2017, Brian Allen and Chris Fry.
One of the reasons I put the group together, and again, it's about 25 student athletes, it has the appearance of so that you can communicate with each other, but the selfish reason is I can learn from you guys on where we're headed and what we're trying to do and what we should be doing different. And that's why I throw out, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I want the group to try and initiate some new things, because that's where those of us that are in the roles we're in can take that wisdom, help guide it, but really learn. And, you know, that's something I would throw to both of you all the time is as your seniors moving up through the program, continue to learn from the freshmen, but more importantly, or as importantly, lead the freshmen and have those two things going together at the same time, because it seems like our classes are changing faster and faster.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of has a little bit different take on life, and yet we're all striving for the same objective.
So as you look forward to next season, we learned a lot of resilience last year. Lots of challenges, both personally in terms of you guys being injured a bit, and collectively in terms of the gaps. So what does that do for you for next season, and as you think about those new freshmen coming in and your leadership roles as statespersons and elders?
I think it motivates us to be great. You know, we had our hiccups throughout the year last year, and we struggled for most of the season. I think we started out the season strong, and then injuries started to settle in, and, you know, things started to happen. But I think looking forward to next year, we have to figure out a way to persevere and keep working after things happen, to be great and to keep whatever we have going moving forward. You know, if things aren't going bad in the first half, we have to figure out a way to be great in the second half. We have to figure out a way to pull out the games that are close and win in the fourth quarter, which is something that we didn't do last year. So looking forward to next season, you know, as Brian and I are moving forward as seniors and leaders of this team, I think one of our our main goals is to be able to bring the team together as one. You know, to have guys. We've been work the last week. We've been working on something a little differently. Coach D showed us a video the other day about millennials and how
these are the young kids. Yeah, you're the and old how, guys, and how, these are the young kids.
You know how people
purpose
are
being bag and free food, right?
Is that yep. that so
it's, purpose being bag and free
yeah,
food?
Yeah, video.
So you know, it's about guy. The main thing that we took from it was, you know, it was the cell phone part. You know, so when we go to training table. Every night at 5 o'clock, everybody walks in the door. They check their phone and they set it on the table. And you know, we try and sit with different guys that we don't normally communicate with, because everybody communicates with each other on the team. And you know, it might be just hi or say something to them here or there. But you know, this is an opportunity for us to really get to know the other people on the team, and know where they're coming from. And like anything else, talk to them about what's going on in their life. So you know, we're really focusing on trying really hard to bring everybody together. And just be very solid as a complete team, and not have like just different groups of guys, and not communicate with a certain group of people as much as you should.
Along that, I had an opportunity to visit the White House, and they have a box outside their primary conference room when you go in the West Wing, and there is a box with little slots where the phone goes. And I asked the individual, "Is that a security issue?" And he says, not a security issue, it's a focus issue, mm-hmm. that they want everyone at the table focused on what the conversation is and to have absolutely no distractions. So it's at the highest level of government, very similar, that you want to have conversations, you want to know about people's lives, you want to know what's going good, what's going bad.
We're all struggling with, I just met with the ASMSU, the undergrad student leaders, before I came over here. And we talked about their you know, juniors and rising seniors, and how freshmen are different.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time talking with people about they carry their world around on their phone, and they don't bother to assume that the world is different if it's different on their phone. And it's hard work, because you grow up with the phone. I do now more and more, and it was one of my New Year's resolutions,
yep.
to be less tied to the phone, and maybe I can have shorter meetings, because I pay better attention, but also just because it's more respectful to those around us. I get to have a chance to learn more about them instead of my phone and asking them a question about, like, yes or no, did you make that tackle? Yes. Why? And I think it does deal with that. But, you know, the other thing last year, you can never make excuses, but it was an interesting year in terms of, as I watched, it was hard to figure out if we had the same people on the team, on the field at any given time for continuity. Mm-hmm. And that does require more understanding of one another. As a way of combating the continuity question, because you all practice in squads and you have A teams and B teams and scout teams, and they tend to spend more time together. And I think that's why what you're doing this year can be very, very valuable, not simply for football, but for life.
Yeah.
Brian, I think when you talk about, you know, distractions and attention to detail, the smallest thing, one play changes a season.
Yeah.
But it's that focus on the smallest of things and eliminating the distractions that really have the potential to develop championship teams. Do you see that?
Yeah. You know, just a lot of people don't understand that, you know, plays come down at times as little as, you know, inches. Just if one guy on the offensive line doesn't do his job and takes a step a little bit too far, that doesn't set up his next step, which doesn't put enough power into the guy, and he's in the wrong spot. Just that mistake alone, with probably 2 inches, could, you know, turn a 5-yard run into a loss. So the Coach Manning always says the devil's in the details, and you know, that's something that really, you know, really is exposed on a football field. If you don't do everything right, you're not going to be successful. So you know, just the pressure of doing that every play is, you know, what you need to do to be successful.
People can maybe see the work that Chris does a little bit clearer on the TV set than, yeah. Brian, the work that you do. If I wanted to better understand being an offensive lineman, so I could really appreciate the great skill you have, footwork and talent and the thought that goes behind the role, what would I look for as a fan? What would you want me to see that shows really the complexity of your role?
It's hard to really, you know, grade out like an offensive lineman on a TV just because, like, when we watch film, if you tried to do it on a TV, it'd be impossible. Mm-hmm. You need to see, you know, the end zone view just to see everything. But I think if you're just a spectator at home, and if an offensive lineman starting a play on a guy and ending it on a guy, he's doing his job for the most part. So if you see an offensive lineman just standing around anywhere in the play, he's probably doing something wrong. That's the easiest thing to pick out, you know, as a fan or someone who's just watching. So, but there's so many little things that people just won't understand about offensive line. It's like trying to talk Spanish to people. So it's mm-hmm. it's hard to explain, you know, me and my tackler are doing a deuce block here and no one knows what that means. So it's just
But if a parent had a son who wanted to play offensive line, do you have advice for the parent? You've had an older brother who's given you advice along the way.
Well, usually when you're young, the kids who play offensive line are a little heavier than Chris was in the first grade. So I didn't really have a choice when it came to playing offensive line. It was kind of my spot I was bodied into. So, but, you know, it's football, any position's a tough position, but, you know, playing offensive line, you got to be a little tougher just from the start, kind of. Everyone, you know, runs around as a little kid, and that's the only position that, you know, is always, you know, every play you're hitting someone. You know, there's plays where DBs and wide receivers are just running around, and but that play, that position, every play demands, you know, some physical aspect, and, you know, just requires, you know, mentally tough people that are, you know, willing to run into someone full speed every play. So just toughness is what it comes down to.
But I also think that as I understand the work that you all do, there is so much skill to being a lineman that I think it's important for parents to understand that it's not just because somebody happens to have a genetic makeup that makes them bigger than everybody else in their class, that there's a mental mindset that you're talking about in terms of detail that you have to be really smart to do really well. It's not just because you're big. You have to be really smart to do it. And you have to be really agile to do it in footwork and other kinds of things, because those are really split-second decisions in some ways to make that difference. And I think sometimes we tend to think about different positions as having different intellectual capacities, and particularly for parents who look at their kids and see all the glory that goes to the quarterback, let's say. But the roles that you play because your body type lets you be really good at it require that same kind of skill and intellect and agility that's just not seen on TV, which is why I asked you the question.
Without having the film orientation, probably the best way is to singularly focus on one lineman for a series and just watch where they go, watch where they pull, watch what they let go by on purpose sometimes or what they miss. Yeah. And it's almost like a dance that's fun to watch if you can focus on that.
Yeah.
Which is where the teamwork part comes in, because it takes all of you in the right spot to do that. And is there a linebacker mentality?
Be crazy.
I'm just asking the question, Chris. I'm not asking that for, because people have these stereotypes, and I would guess that if someone saw you today with your academic glasses on, they would probably say, "Boy, that guy looks like a really great student. He's probably in science, and he's not in advertising and those." I mean, because people have impressions about
theater, maybe,
yeah, but people have impressions about folks, unfortunately, because of the way they look, and. And but there's all linebackers have this sort of kamikaze.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
When I listen to people describe you, when I watch your away games on TV, they talk about these attitudes of players. And are those real, or are you develop them, or is it sort of?
I think it's honestly like when you get to this level, it's just something that you have inside of you. I think for guys like me, just any of the linebackers, but, you know, when you hear about, like, some of the coaches will say, like, last year it was, like, me, Riley, and John Reschke, you just bring this different attitude to the table. Mm-hmm. You know, when you put the pads on, and this Coach Barnett always says the other guy comes out. You know, he's just a different person on the field. And you also hear Coach Barnett always say, you put those pads on Saturday, you want to you let this other guy out, and you know the mentality that you bring to the field, your mom won't even recognize. You're hitting people out there, and your mom doesn't even recognize you because you're going so crazy. Mm-hmm. I think you know it's at this level and in this game, it's something that you just have to have inside of you, because without it, it's really hard to love this game and
the disadvantage.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'm proud of both of you, and it's not just what we see on the football field. More importantly, it's how you two carry yourselves across this campus and across all the communities that we get to go to. It's fun to watch you interact with other people, and we're blessed to have you be Spartans.
Thank you.
And apart from what might be the image, you guys are great human beings, so thank you very much.
Both. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Go Green.
Thank you.
Go Whites.
That was Brian Allen and Chris Fry, emerging Spartan football leaders for 2017, talking with Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon and Spartans Athletic Director Mark Hollis. To hear the conversation again, click on MSU Today at WKAR.org. From the campus of Michigan State University, this is MSU Today on 870 AM WKAR. WKAR.
Every day when you're walking down the street, everybody that you meet has an original point of view. And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
I'm Russ White for MSU Today.
WKAR PBS Kids 24/7 is the official channel, the PBS Kids channel, where kids and families can watch PBS programming virtually anytime during the day or night.
That's Susie Elkins, Interim Director of Broadcasting and General Manager of WKAR Public Media at Michigan State University.
And the most exciting part about that is that we know most viewing for kids and families happens after dinner, before bed, and that's generally when we're in prime time for our regular channel. And so this gives them an opportunity to have access to educational, entertaining, fun programming any time of the day or night.
Jennifer English is Senior Director of PBS Kids Partnerships and Station Relations.
It's part of our overall mission to serve every child, and particularly children in low-income communities. This is the first of its kind, free 24-hour children's service. It's available over the air, so you don't have to subscribe to cable to receive it. And the video app is free as well. So it really is part of our larger mission to ensure that high-quality educational content that builds resilient learners and feeds the whole child learning experience is available to every child.
Elkins says WKAR Family will bring together all the new PBS Kids 24/7 multi-platform services.
WKAR Family is our larger umbrella that includes, of course, the 24/7 PBS Kids channel, but it also includes the stream. There's a live video stream that happens all day long, 24/7 online as well, and interactive games, as well as our own local piece, which is connecting with faculty on campus here at Michigan State University to highlight their research in early childhood development. So we want to put a spotlight on research based on STEM topics, math, literacy, reading, social, emotional. And the idea behind it really is to power the channel, power all of our early childhood education work through the research from Michigan State University. They know what works, and the challenge is helping to get that information out to parents and caregivers and families so that they can use it. And that's where we come in. So we try to distill down the immense amount of intellectual knowledge that we have here on campus and create into a 30-second, one-minute spot that is a takeaway, a helpful hint for parents. I also want them to be encouragement for parents. So a lot of what they're discovering that works in early childhood development is parental involvement. And so when you're playing, when you're encouraging your kids to play, imaginative play, that's fun and something that kids should do, but there are also some things happening in their brains when they do that. And so as a parent, when you're encouraging that, you're encouraging them to be ready to enter school, you're encouraging them to make connections between play and math, and our researchers can explain that really well and help parents understand that they have support, what they're doing is right and good, and they're probably going to be the biggest influence on how their kids learn throughout their entire lives.
And what's really exciting about that is that it is an opportunity for us to extend all of that great PBS Kids content to kids whenever they're watching television. Historically, public television stations have mainly aired children's programming in the morning and in the early afternoon, but we know that kids watch a lot of content in the later afternoon and through the evening. And so this new distribution will allow us to provide research-based educational content to kids whenever they're watching television.
Among the many collaborators on the project is MSU's College of Social Science. The dean is Rachel Croson.
The College of Social Science includes the Department of Human Development and Family Studies, and this includes a number of faculty who study and do research and do outreach activities around child development and healthy child development and understanding how kids learn, not only intellectually learn, but also learn socially, learn to interact with other kids, learn to have sort of healthy relationships. And so we see that this channel has the ability to both enhance our understanding and our the capacity in that, and also for a data collection opportunity to allow those faculty to collect information about what enhances learning in those domains.
MSU Extension is another collaborator, and its director, Jeff Dwyer, is excited to be involved.
Well, our team has really done a fantastic job of developing lessons and activities that drive programming, in part with this new relationship with WKAR and public television, by helping it to jump off the screen and right into people's lives. And really, that's whether they're at home, whether they're with their families, in childcare setting, on the farm, or wherever it might be. And so we're very excited about the opportunity to take the things we've been doing, frankly, for 100 years in many cases, evidence-based research for children, youth, and families, and having this completely new opportunity to spread that message and that information and research to people all over the state of Michigan through public television.
None of this could happen without all of the collaboration that we've had with the departments on campus, such as the College of Education, MSU Extension, Social Sciences. These are all folks that have been studying and working in early childhood development their entire careers. And when we combine their expertise with the amazing national PBS programming, I mean, it's just the sky's the limit in terms of what that can do for children and families. And so we've so appreciated being able to pick up the phone and call virtually anyone on campus and say, what do you know about this topic? Or if Daniel Tiger is talking about social-emotional connections with kids, what do you know about that? And boy, do they know something about that, and they're willing to share that with us, and they've given us their time and expertise, and we really want to make them proud and essentially relay that information to get it into the hands of parents and kids so that they can do something with it. And some of the feedback we've gotten from our faculty is how they've appreciated that opportunity, because often they're talking with other scholars, they're talking with other experts, and comparing notes and understanding, and that's all very important, but it's really kind of, it's been nice for them, I think, to see it applied in real life with real parents who can appreciate that and use it with their kids.
The Lansing School District is another partner on the project, which will put 1,000 PBS playtime pads into the hands of Lansing kindergartners. Lansing School Superintendent is Yvonne Kamal Kanul.
It's going to connect them to the world, to new application possibilities, to new learning. It's going to have families will be engaged in this. It's just such a benefit for our district and for our kids. What I really like is the aspect of the research study, of course, so that we can get better data on what our learning needs are with our young kindergartners. You know, some of us are kind of old, so we sort of don't remember what it was like to be in kindergarten. And kindergarten kids nowadays are pretty sophisticated. So we'll learn a lot from this partnership. And, of course, having anything with Michigan State University who's right down the road from us, you know, is always a blessing.
Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon likes the national exposure the project will give to MSU research expertise.
This is a national effort that PBS is going to launch, this 24/7 children's channel. But we've been invited on the ground floor to help produce content based on great research. And Michigan State is going to be developing all of these. They're going to be tested here, and then they'll be available, you know, nationwide. And that really makes this not just something to sit in front of, but something for families to do together.
I am a mom. I have two kids, and they're a little bit older now from this demographic. But the reason this is near and dear to my heart is because as a parent, I really struggled with knowing what expectations I could have for them at what age. And so often as a parent, you feel, am I doing enough? Am I making these connections? Are they going to be ready to learn when they enter school? What should I be doing? And I think what we can show parents is what you're doing is enough. We just want to bring it a little bit more into your consciousness so you can do maybe a little bit more of it. And you can see that when you're playing with them, you're creating those connections in their brains that are helping them with brain development that is going to carry them through the rest of their lives. And so just being there, just talking with them, just connecting, you're doing it. And we at WKR and me as a mom, I just want to be able to say that. I want to be able to say we support you, we honor you, and we want to help you.
Prabhu David is dean of MSU's College of Communication Arts and Sciences.
It's more than just a 24/7 channel. It is a concerted effort to build resilience in families, to build a resilient society, resilient kids, parents, grandparents. And we do that by doing something quite innovative, by mobilizing all the assets that we have at a large land-grant university like ours and bringing it to bear on one key issue, that is building kids who are empowered and who are able to empower others.
My hope is that people see through this project that we are committed. WKAR is committed to early childhood education. We're committed to families. We're committed to kids. And we're committed to working with the College of Communication Arts and Sciences and their experts and all of the experts across campus and all of the departments to make sure that the resources that are here on campus at this university are for the public. They're for you. And we have a unique ability and responsibility to take those resources and those tools and connect them to the families that need them. And I want people to know that we're a partner. We're in there with you. We want you to succeed. And if there's anything that we can do to help you do that, we're going to do it.
We're really excited to be here at WKAR at Michigan State because we also are exploring ways that we can work with the station and with the university to take a look at developing more research-based children's media and gaming. There's a lot of technical and academic expertise here that we're looking to partner with and see how we can explore continuing to build a more effective educational content for young children.
For more on WKAR PBS Kids 24/7, visit WKAR.org. I'm Russ White for MSU Today.
You got to listen to your heart, listen to the beat, listen to the rhythm of the street. Open up your eyes, open up your ears, get together and make things better by working together. It's a simple message, and it comes from the heart. Oh, believe in yourself, for that's the place to start.
Start and I say, hey, hey,
what a wonderful kind of day. Learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Hey!
What a wonderful kind of day.
Hey!
What a wonderful kind of day.
Hey!
Hey!
DW!
Hey!
Whoa!
You're tuned to Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Kirk Heinze.
Well, we have in the past featured a very innovative, successful, and competitive program to reduce energy use across Michigan. The program is called the Battle of the Buildings, which is now in its fourth year. It's hosted by the West Michigan chapter of the U.S. Green Buildings Council. Back with us to talk about this year's competition is Sherry Holman. She is the executive director of the West Michigan chapter of the U.S. Green Buildings Council. Sherry, you're looking for even more entries this year.
We are. Every year the competition in the past is more than doubled. So, you know, we're holding out to double again this year. It's quite an aggressive goal.
For our listeners who may not be familiar with the competition, tell us about it.
Sure. The competition is extremely easy. It's a Biggest Loser-styled energy reduction competition. So basically, you're competing against yourself, how much energy you can lose during the year compared to the prior year. We categorize all the contestants so that you are competing against buildings that are similar to yours. And at the end, we award the biggest losers. And this year is kind of exciting, too, because we've added water. So that's a new category that you can compete in as well.
Well, yeah, water use is huge. In fact, Michigan State University has marked 2017 as the year of the water research, teaching, and extension work as well. So, but the thing that really impressed me about your program, and we've done interviews in the past, is that you guys really rely on metrics. It's not just sort of anecdotal.
Right. Yes. I mean, it's weather normalized data. So it's what your building used last year compared to this year. So it's real numbers. Yeah.
Now, I know, Sherry, that there are a lot of different categories and a lot of different competitors, but in a general sense, what are some of the things that these companies do to reduce their energy use or, in the case of 2017, their water use?
You know, it's so diverse. Some of them do projects where, you know, they're maybe putting in a new HVAC system that's more efficient. But we've also had winners that have taken home a title on nothing more than occupant behavior, just talking about the competition, getting everyone excited within their facility, and, you know, doing things like shutting off lights that aren't being used or shutting computers down at night. So, you know, it's there's no one size fits all when it comes to energy reduction, and there's many ways. I think one of the most exciting and interesting stories was from a competitor we had last year, who was a community camp, college campus, and they reduced by realizing that Fridays was a very lightly scheduled day, and they were holding classes in all different buildings around campus. And they moved everything into one building and were able to set back the other buildings. And they reduced over 30% on energy in 1 year. So that was St. Clair Community College. It was pretty impressive.
Oh, I'm familiar. I'm from that part of the state, so it was St. Clair Community College. You know, isn't it interesting that some of these innovative ideas, in retrospect, are sort of low-hanging fruit, but it takes somebody for the light bulb to go on for somebody to say, hey, let's try this.
And that's what's fun about the Energy Summit, where we're celebrating these competitors each year, because the whole thing is based on them telling their stories to each other. So, you know, you really get insight as to what's going on in some of the other buildings, and they're willing to share what didn't work, too, you know? So that's always fun.
Now, the Energy Summit, so I've got this right. The 2016 winners will be recognized at the 2017 Energy Summit. Is that right?
Right, and that's on April 19th at the JW Marriott in Grand Rapids.
Well, as we talked before we started the interview, Russ and I are planning on being up there. Sherry, for those who are interested in entering the competition this year, where can they get the information? What are some of the details? When is the deadline?
MichiganBattleOfTheBuildings.org is where they go. It's pretty simple to sign up. Only takes a few minutes. You need your square footage and, you know, name and address of the building. It's free. Thanks to our generous sponsors at Consumers and DTE, there's no charge to be involved in the competition. You have until March 31st to get registered, and we hope to see everybody getting registered this year throughout the state.
Well, last year, I'm looking at some of the numbers, 475 buildings competed, nearly 65 million square feet of real estate. 1,124 football fields. Those are big numbers.
They are, and, you know, when we look back to where we came from, because our first year in 2014 included 11 million square feet, we were thrilled with that, but the way it's grown is just, in shock, really, of how it's become, you know, so large. It's awesome.
Well, I think it also speaks to the vision. We've always been impressed with the West Michigan chapter of the U.S. Green Buildings Council and some of the work that's being done in West Michigan with LEED certification and energy. And you folks have just been on the cutting edge of this sort of thing.
Yeah, and most recently we formed a Grand Rapids 2030 district too. So, yeah, we love our sustainability over here.
Well, I hope you reach, you double your numbers. I hope you reach 1,000 buildings competing this year, Sherry. And we look forward to seeing you on April the 19th. I've been talking with Sherry Holman. We've been talking about the Battle of the Buildings, sponsored and hosted by the U.S. Green Building Council of West Michigan. Sherry, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Kirk Heinze with a sustainability-focused Greening of the Great Lakes segment inside MSU Today here on AM 870 WKAR. To read Kirk's blog and hear more Greening of the Great Lakes content, visit mlive.com/environment.
Hello, I'm Ken Nobis, president of the Michigan Milk Producers Association. Across Michigan and the nation, family farmers have benefited from the use of genetic modification. Farmers from virtually every crop have seen advantages from the use of GMOs during the past two decades. That includes dairy farmers. Thanks to GMOs, we are able to depend on a consistent source of feed for our cows that is raised in a more sustainable way. Unfortunately, there are lots of myths about GMOs. But the fact is, using advanced technology in agriculture has helped everyone, from family farmers to consumers. On the farm, GMOs help us to protect the environment and grow more food. By using modern seeds and production technology, farmers are able to make fewer passes through fields. They also use fewer insecticides, pesticides, and herbicides, and they are able to optimize chemicals that are needed. Ultimately, that reduces the carbon footprint of American agriculture. And for families, that means lower prices at the grocery store and a more sustainably raised product. We're working hard to make sure folks have the facts on GMO technology. Because for Michigan's dairy farmers, embracing science and modern technology is critical for our future.
WKAR. For listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. To hear the show again, click on the radio tab at WKAR.org and scroll to MSU Today every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock on AM 870 WKAR.